Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, and it's found on page 89 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles if you would like to follow along. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is the flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for being a God who's in the midst of life and all that we face and deal with. We ask that your Spirit be here today, that you minister to each one of us as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. For all of you here today, and we appreciate all of you here today who are visitors and first-timers to our church, it's a different kind of Sunday than what we would normally experience, but it's the same kind of Sunday in terms of how we put our faith and hope in God, even in the midst of crises. The coronavirus, our society is dealing with that. We will take precautions here. We will believe. We will be strong. And my one word of advice to you is, if you have a fever, stay home. Regardless, people say, "Oh, I have a cough or cold or allergies." How many times do we hear that? If you have a fever, stay home. If I have a fever, I'm going to call one of them, and they will be preaching on the spur of the moment, or Ron Hamilton, or the pastor from Cincinnati. It doesn't matter. And we will be prayer warriors for Pastor Sandy, won't we? Last night at the Sabbath service, Bill Murley from Staff Parish, he and I shared what we did here today about Pastor, and I knew that we couldn't go on with the service. We had to stop, and we had prayer. And I just invited people to pray whatever was on their heart. And the prayer went on and on. People were saying what you would say. When I was sick, Pastor Sandy was with me. When I was dealing with that family issue, Pastor Sandy called me. Someone said, when my wife was dying, Pastor Sandy was with her. And folks were saying, and now it's our turn to be in prayer for Pastor Sandy. The Archbishop Desmond Tutu once said this when Desmond Tutu was asked about all that he was facing in South Africa. He was the Archbishop of Cape Town. And with all the social ills, economic ills, spiritual ills, they said, surely, Bishop, you have lost hope. And Bishop Tutu said this, as Christians, we are prisoners of hope. As Christians, we are prisoners of hope. And as Christians, we live within hope because that is what we have been taught from God through Jesus. For those of you who are visiting, let me just bring you up to date. We started the church here with the story of the arrival of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, and then John Baptist, the Baptist who proclaimed Jesus, and then Jesus who arrived sharing that same mission. Now, our congregation knows this well. Jesus said, repent and turn to the kingdom of God. Now we're in the season of Lent. And for those of you new to the church, that means we wear purple, which is the color of Lent. Lent simply is a season to prepare our hearts and minds for the celebration of Easter. But it comes with a journey of preparation. Look at the banner on the wall. There is the cross that proclaims Jesus was crucified, not on the cross anymore. He has arisen from the dead, but the thorns at the base of the cross are a reminder of the hard times that Jesus had to go through in order to get to the point of resurrection, new life, beginning, and hope. J. Alistair Brown wrote this about hope. He said, if you look at the mighty oak tree, and I grew up in California, a couple towns over from a city called Thousand Oaks. And as a little boy, we drive through there, and I always tried to count all the oak trees. But the oak tree is a strong tree. Its wood is used for making really good furniture. And the oak tree, according to Brown, has an enemy. There is a seed, there is a vine. And J. Alistair Brown says that one little seed can grow into a vine that wraps itself around the mighty oak tree. And it grows, and the vine gets thick and develops into a very sturdy bush. And the vines of the oak tree can begin to weigh down the tree and put the tree at risk. But in his illustration, he says this, all it takes is for the arborist, the tree doctor, to come to the mighty oak tree, which is jeopardized, go to the base of that vine, and with a saw, cut the vine, and this tree is saved. In the same way, the whole message of faith from Jesus, John the Baptist, and the others is this. Don't allow the little seed of sin to grow within you. Don't allow that little distraction that pulls you away from God to pull you down. Jesus is the arborist, the tree doctor, who comes to remove the seed that maybe we have allowed to grow, to cut it off at its base, and to let us live and start over and be a people of hope. In our scripture lesson today, Jesus is visited by Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, meaning that during the time of Jesus, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. And by religious leader, that also means state leaders. The Pharisees of the Sanhedrin were a combination of church and state, so they were very, very powerful. Now, in this time in history, they were under the rule of the Romans who occupied them, but the Pharisees were still the leaders of the Jews. So Nicodemus, when he would walk down the street, he'd wear a robe, Ron, what's the word for phylacteries? Phylacteries. Or the minister from Cincinnati, can you help me out? Thank you, Steve. Phylacteries. See, I told you, if I'm with a fever, you're preaching. So Nicodemus, prayer shawl and all, he would walk down the street and people would say, there goes Nicodemus. He's one of the rulers of our people. By day, but by night, quietly he sneaks up to Jesus where nobody would see him. And he said, we know you must be from God. The Pharisees believed these 4 points. They believed in the Old Testament. They believed that the Messiah was coming. They believed in miracles, and they believed in the concept of the resurrection. They just didn't believe that Jesus was those things. But for them to come out and listen to Jesus and see that he was performing miracles was not anything out of their realm of belief. In fact, that's why they came to him. You are performing miracles. So Nicodemus says this. We know that perform miracles. We know. He wasn't speaking as an individual. Nicodemus was speaking on behalf of the other Pharisees who saw that Jesus was teaching and preaching and healing, and the multitudes came to him. He had such a following like the Pharisees had never experienced. He had this great following, and the Pharisees were thinking, he sort of is like us with the rules and things that we believe. We believe in some of the basic things. Maybe he can join us. Maybe he could help us in overthrowing the Pharisees. I'm sorry, the Romans, overthrowing the Romans. Whatever the motivation, we don't know. We just know that they had a simple conversation. Again, remember what John the Baptist proclaimed, what Jesus began to proclaim, a very simple message. Repent and seek the kingdom of God. Jesus and Nicodemus had a conversation where Jesus said, basically saying, all well and done, but you must be born again. There is something beyond your understanding. And with that, the Greek translation of again means from above. And in the scripture that Ruth read, the wording was from above. Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, besides what you have, you must seek that which is from above. You must seek God. Repentance isn't done just for its own sake. Repentance is done to prepare oneself to receive what God would have for us. And Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was trying to point him in the direction of a new beginning, a new life, the Lord touching one's heart, filling one's spirit and preparing one for the rest of life. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a political man. But he didn't comprehend what Jesus was talking about. Let me illustrate it for you this way. You know about the cheetah that is the fastest of the big cats. The cheetah can run a great speed. Where did we see a cheetah run? Was it a zoo? Well, someplace. We've seen a cheetah run and they are very, very fast. But the cheetah can only run fast for a very short period of time. And that's because the cheetah does not have a heart that is in proportion to its body size. Its heart is actually smaller than what an animal of that size should have. So the heart can only pump so much blood. The cheetah can run very fast, but only for a very short period of time before it gets tired. Its heart is too small. I think Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, God wants your heart to be a little bigger. Okay, second illustration. This one will help you more. During Christmas, when you turn on the television and you watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas, now you're saying to me, we don't watch that. You should. You can't just watch Bing Crosby and Bob Hope and White Christmas. And you have to watch, if you want to relate to your grandkids, you have to watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas. In that, the Grinch, he was this character anyway, even if you don't know the story. The Grinch was this character who was very mean, very unhappy, and not wanting others to be happy. And you remember the little picture, those who've watched it. They said the reason for that was, and they show like an x-ray of the Grinch's heart. The Grinch's heart was too small. But on the occasion of observing Cindy Lou in Wahoo, or the Grinch stole all their Christmas gifts. He stole their turkey, stole their food. He did all these horrible things to these little people, or whatever they are. And then on Christmas morning, they still came out singing their Christmas carols. They didn't need the gifts. They didn't need the feast. They were happy to be together. And when the Grinch observed that, again the x-ray, they showed the Grinch's heart, and the Grinch's heart began to grow. And it grew beyond the x-ray screen. Jesus was teaching, hoping that Nicodemus would understand that there's something special. There's something life-giving. There's something that would change one's life and heart, and that is what he wanted to share. And that when we come to that understanding that God loves us, forgives us our sins like cutting the base of the vine that would hamper the tree or even our lives, Jesus says, there is more, that God offers love. Jack Canfield, one of the co-editors of that series called Chicken Soup for the Soul. I'm needing a lot of help today, so don't go anywhere, Cincinnati guy. Jack Canfield said this. He said he once came to a Little League game, and he made his way to his seat in the stands. He didn't say whether it was a grandson or who was playing, but he was at a Little League game. And he got there a little late, and he looked up, and the score was 14-0. And the team sitting right in front of him was the team that had the nothing. So he was sitting close enough, and there was one of the players, a pitcher or something, off to the side, and he just whispered, he goes, "Hey, son, are you discouraged that you're behind 14-0? And the little boy said, "Oh, no, sir, not at all. That's nothing. We haven't even come up to bat yet." The world might say, church, people, be afraid. The coronavirus will force you into hiding. The news of cancer on our beloved Pastor Sandy might set us back. But you know what? We're people of faith. We're people of faith, and God knows the end of every story. 14-0. Friends, we haven't even come up to bat. Let us be a people with prayer and a purpose and the knowledge that as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, Jesus speaks to us and says, open your hearts, open your minds. There's so much more that I want to give you. Amen.